Calvary covered it all, and Jesus paid it all. Greatest story that we can ever hear. I know it changed my life, and I know the testimony of many in this room and how Christ changed their life, and it came through the blood of the cross, on the cross of Jesus Christ. Isn't it an honor and privilege to serve the Lord in the days that we live? I think it is. I think it's a wonderful thing. And what a great place that we get to do it here at Faithway Baptist Church. We have seen God even this week just continue to bless our church. I just thank the Lord that He finds us faithful. God has convicted me and also burdened my heart about this one thing that we're going to talk about this evening. In 2020, the world has kind of turned our focus to serving ourselves. It has given us the desire to isolate ourselves and look out kind of for ourselves and maybe our families. And now I'm not advocating that we be irresponsible or even rebellious in any way. But the world says, take care of me. Has that me, myself, and I kind of mentality. It says to take care of only us. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, take up your cross and follow after Him. God calls us to be selfless and obey His commandment. In Mark 16, verses 15 through 16, this is Jesus speaking, and it says, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I have a question for us this evening. When Jesus spoke these words over 2,000 years ago, when He spoke the word go, did He foreknow that COVID-19 was going to happen? Did He know that there would be evil kings, evil queens? Did He know that there would be emperors and presidents and socialist dictators? Did He know that churches and Christians would suffer persecution because of their faith? The obvious answer is yes to all these questions. Then my question to you then this evening, and even to myself then, does the word go still apply in the day that we live in? Absolutely it does. God's commandment is not changed. His word is not changed. I want to focus on the word go this evening and talk about some practical ways that it should apply to every Christian in the way of evangelizing the lost. Number one, we need to go to the lost. As I said, God's commandment is not changed. We are supposed to go and to tell the lost about our Savior. We are supposed to point them to Calvary. We have Jesus's example in Luke 19, verse 10. It says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. John 3, 16 and 17, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. Paul said in Romans 9, 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul wished himself, if he could sacrifice himself, I believe he would. And that's what the verse here is pointing us towards. He wanted the lost to be saved. He wanted, in particular, he's talking about his brother and his kinsmen, talking about the people of Israel. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 and 23, Paul says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things, I am all, made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Paul's desire was to save one more. After Paul saved one more, he wanted to save one more. And I believe that God's plea today, as we said as in Mark chapter 16, that we are to go. God's desire for every Christian here is to reach one more. And that is something I believe that we can do. We need to go to the lost. Second, we need to go to the children. Go to the children. The city of Evansville, the children in this town desperately need the love of God. Amen. Their homes need the love of God. These children are growing up not knowing about our Savior. The wonderful privilege that we had the day that we accepted Christ as our Savior, by the grace of God, He saved our souls. These children need the gospel. We have different programs here at the church, and Lord willing, and very soon, as Pastor and I have talked, and we've talked to our bus workers and our children's church workers, we are ready. We're waiting on God's timing, but we are ready to start our children's ministries. Our bus ministry is so vital to Faithway Baptist Church. We need to bring in the children. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 19:14, said, but Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Kind of repeats it in Mark 10:13-15. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. It's recorded again in the book of Luke. But God is very concerned about the children and the youth of this world. He's concerned about the children of Faithway Baptist Church. He's concerned about the children of Evansville, Indiana. Amen. He desires that all of them come to know His Son, Jesus Christ, that they might be saved. And I believe He wants to use Faithway Baptist Church as the vehicle to do just that. I believe in this room tonight and listening online that God is already working on the hearts of Faithway Baptist Church church members to find their area of service in this area of reaching children. I believe God's already convicted some of our hearts about it. Whether we've yielded to it or not, God is working and He's using His Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and burden our hearts for the children of Evansville, Indiana. When this church starts its bus ministry, you know what? We're gonna need bus riders. We're gonna need door knockers. We're gonna need someone to be running programs from point A to point B on the buses. We're gonna need children's church workers. We're gonna need nursery workers. Because I am firmly and strongly convinced that Evansville, Indiana, the people inside their homes don't realize that there is a church that cares for their soul, that those doors are open. I honestly believe most of Evansville thinks all the churches are closed. And I honestly believe whenever we start door knocking, whenever we start putting door hangers on the doors, we start kicking the bushes of Evansville, Indiana, the eyes are going to be open that someone cares for them. There's a church that cares for their soul, a church that cares for their well-being. And as we lift Christ up, He will draw people to Himself. And we'll see the children and the people of Evansville, Indiana come to know the Savior. But it takes workers. Our nurseries, our Sunday schools, even our adult Sunday school classes, we're going to need the laborers, because when people realize that there's a church that cares for them, we won't be able to keep the doors closed as they come through them. I honestly believe it'll be hard to fit everyone that desires to come to a church that cares for them here in this building. So we need to be concerned about the children. Number three, we need to go in the power of the Spirit. Go in the power of the Spirit. There is not a soul that has been saved that has not been saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This Holy Spirit must be there for a soul to accept Christ. The Holy Spirit must be present to give the proper boldness and the right things to say as the Christian tells the lost. The power of the Spirit is one of the soul winners, one of the Christian's strongest weapons against the enemy. Because I am weak, within myself I am nothing, but all things are possible with Christ. All things are possible in the power of the Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Acts 4:31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing for Faithway Baptist Church to be shaken? To have the Holy Spirit be so alive in the members and the believers that are saved in Faithway Baptist Church that the world has to take notice. Amen. Ephesians 6:10 through 20 tells us all about the armor of God. And for the sake of time, I won't go through it, but I think most everyone knows this passage of Scripture. But it's always worth looking at again. But even verse 10, "Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. In verse 15 of that, it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Again, the gospel is not only part of the armor, but it is a weapon for the believer. Amen. That is something that we must have. That is something we must use. We must be knowledgeable about it. But then in verse 18 through 20, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Which leads us to number four. Go in prayer. Prayer cannot be underestimated. The theme of this year is prayer. The pastor has given us some great messages on prayer already. We've heard great messages on prayer from outside speakers. But the importance of prayer is so vital. Our victories in the Christian life are won on our knees in prayer long before the battle ever comes. We use prayer to communicate, to communion with our Father in heaven. He uses prayer to still the hearts and the voice of the saved, to focus their minds, to have a sweet conversation with His saints through prayer and through the Word of God. We need to pray and asking God to work not only in us, but also pray ahead that the Spirit will work in the lost. The lost, again, will not be saved without the Holy Spirit's presence. We need the Holy Spirit with us at all times. But also that the Spirit of God will set up the divine appointments. Jesus prayed in Luke 22:42, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." I enjoyed Brother Ed's sermon the other night on prayer and how Jesus prayed. Now, we have very few recordings of what Jesus prayed to His Father. But I enjoyed that message. But then he says he prayed to God and he said, "Not my will be done, but thine." Every soul winner, as we go out, Every Christian, as we go out, one of the things that we ought to pray, we ought to pray for the power of the Spirit. We ought to pray a lot of things, but we ought to pray that the Lord's will be done. It'll be done in that lost soul that we're trying to reach. The Lord's will be done in our life. We need the Spirit's leading. Jesus also said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." We need to pray for those laborers. But when we're praying for those laborers, let's not forget that we are a laborer ourselves. And that the Lord would allow us, through us, not someone else. Let's pray, "Lord, allow me to win someone for you. Just one more." We also see in God's word that Matthew 7:7-8, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." John 14:13-14 says, "And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." We also need to pray that the Holy Spirit will give the gospel free rein. As we read earlier in Ephesians, I'm going to read it again, verses 19 and 20. "And for me, that utterance might be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." When we pray that the Lord will allow the gospel to go forth, He will choose you to go to deliver the message. But the Holy Spirit of God will work in you to deliver the message that the Lord would have you to speak. And Paul asks that I may speak boldly. We need the gospel to not be hindered. Evansville, Indiana has so many things. You could almost say a shroud of darkness that wants to really stifle or even cover up the gospel. We need it to go without hindrance. We also need to pray that the Holy Spirit will give us those divine appointments. And I won't read the passages, but I love the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Spirit of God told Philip where to go. But then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to the chariot." And as we know, at the end of the story, the Ethiopian eunuch was saved and baptized because of that divine appointment. And lastly, we need to go every day as a witness. Every day as a witness. How often do you talk about the goodness of God in your life in everyday conversation to the lost? You know, the Bible is what God's Word and the Holy Spirit is what saves man's soul. But as you as a witness, what are you a witness of? A witness can only retell the things that he already knows. And you're a witness daily of everything that God does in your life. I am convinced that the more that we talk about the blessings of God in our life to the lost, before we ever get to the chance of giving them a Romans road or taking them through the book of John or maybe even a few verses in Revelation where it talks about the fire and damnation of hell, they're going to first hear your witness or should hear your witness because of the goodness of God in your life every day. I am convinced if we talk more about what God does, people will desire what we have. We've already read it, but in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses." But in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." The psalmist wrote in Psalm 66:16, "Come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." Isaiah 6:8, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us?" Then said I, here am I, send me. Psalm 40, I love the Psalms when it talks about the goodness of God, but Psalms 43, it says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust the Lord. Psalm 71:24, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Do you remember the kind of the sheer delight whenever you were a child and your dad said, go tell this to your brothers or sisters? And if they questioned you, you got to say these wonderful three words. Dad said so. Your father or your mother gave you authority. They spoke through you to tell your brothers and sisters exactly what they needed to be doing. It wasn't your words, but your dad's. When you speak for God, he speaks through you, and that's pretty cool. That God would find us worthy to use us to proclaim a gospel message, that it took his son dying on a cross to provide that salvation, but yet he would use a sinner like I. The wonderful truth this evening is when you speak for God, God gives you the authority of the Word of God to be a witness. You have the authority. You're speaking for the great I Am, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one that created the earth with a breath of his mouth, and he will also destroy it in the same manner. The Holy Spirit of God, when it works inside of you, he gives you exactly what you need. The wonderful truth this evening is speaking for God gives us the highest authority, not only in this land, but in the universe. Lord Jesus has promised the Holy Spirit would come in John 16, that his comforter would help the Christian in many ways. One of the ways the Holy Spirit will aid you today and in helping you is recalling Scripture. John 14:26 tells us that God can bring the verse of Scripture to your mind exactly when you need it. That right verse at the right time will not magically appear in your brain, but God will recall that in your mind on what your mind is already studying on. If your mind is focused on God and God's Word, God will recall that to you when you need it. He can help you when you are witnessing, or even when you're helping a believer find help in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will work in us and help us recall the things that we need. Another way the Holy Spirit will aid you is helping you retell. I've already talked a little bit about this, but what are you a witness of? He will help you witness the truth of Jesus Christ. In John 15:26-27, a witness simply retells what he already knows. When you speak for God, he will help you witness the truth of the gospel. God's plan is to use Christians to be a witness for him. You can confidently know that when you speak for God, he will speak through you. We're not being sent on an errand or a message just, you know, we're not sent on a fool's errand. The Lord sent us in power and authority and with a message to speak. And he helps us to do that. What will it take for sinners to be convinced of their need to trust Christ? It will take God's Spirit and God's Word. But it will take someone's mouth. I've got a big one, but I don't use it as much as I should for the cause of Christ. And it convicts me daily about it. The message of today is still go. Will you be his witness today? This evening, I submit to you that God's commandment and will for all Christians is still to go. We need to go to the lost. We need to go to the children. We need to go in the power of his Spirit. We need to go in prayer. And we need to go as a witness. Father in heaven, come before you tonight, Lord. I just ask as we go into the next little part of this service, Lord, that we will just be a better witness for you.